Hello, I'm Jane Johnson, and you are listening to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. Now, if you've never checked out our website, careeringintomotherhood.com, I think you're really missing something. We have the biggest library of professional career advice for mums, and we do it via our network of career coaches. We try and make the breadth of support that our coaches offer as wide-ranging and diverse as we can. Now, one of our coaches is Nish Aubilak. Nish isn't a mum, but her experience of moving overseas, taking her business with her, starting out again without a huge support network, and trying to make a go of things far away from home is full of life lessons that I think many of us can identify with and learn from. This is our conversation. So, Nish, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. I'm very excited about this episode because you, on paper, and we'll talk about this, but on paper, you have done what so many people dream of doing, which is you've created this. You tell us where you are right now.
Oh, first of all, thank you for having me. But yes, I am recording in Mauritius today, very sunny and hot Mauritius. And yeah, it's been amazing running my business here. And I'm really looking forward to speaking about it more in this podcast.
Brilliant. So you moved out there during lockdown, didn't you? I think you and your partner decided, okay, it's now or never. You were running a business here in the UK and you down tools and moved to Mauritius. Just talk me through. I'm really interested in, yeah, how spontaneous that decision really was.
Yeah, sure. So my partner and I had always had a vision to work abroad because both of us are self-employed. However, even though I am from Mauritius, Mauritius was actually never an option in my mind. We were thinking Portugal or Sri Lanka, just somewhere we hadn't been before. But obviously with COVID and just being self-employed and having, you know, uncertain income every month, we didn't want to take the risk. And then it just so happened, the flat that we were renting in, my landlord decided to sell the flat. So that was kind of a spanner in the works of our plan because we actually were going to stay in London for at least another year or so. I hadn't seen my family. So all my family live out here, my dad, my grandma, all my extended family, in 2 years because of COVID. And the borders for Mauritius had just opened up again by the time we would have left our flat. So that was last October. We just saw it as an opportunity to move out here. I have a family home out here, to visit my family, to introduce Jace to my family in Mauritius and just trial out the remote working life. But we only planned to stay here for 3 months. Then we were going to try somewhere else like Sri Lanka or Africa. But again, COVID, it was just not worth the risk of going to one of those countries and being stuck. So yeah, we've been here for the past nearly 6 months now, and it's definitely had its ups, it's had its downs, but it's been one of the best, not even business life decisions I've made.
I'm really interested in that. You know, there are two sides of the, I guess, the considerations. One is around your life and, you know, whether or not you have children, you've still got family considerations. Obviously, you had family there in Mauritius. But the other thing is how much you must be quite a risk taker naturally to have the confidence to move your business overseas as well. Was that by design? Is that something you've always had this ambition to be very nomadic, to be able to create a lifestyle and a business for you? You've gone into a career that can be very portable.
I think a lot of it is down to both our personalities, very free-spirited. We've both made really bold moves and I've traveled throughout my whole 20s. But yeah, there was resistance. I mean, it wasn't just like, yeah, let's just go. It sounds so ridiculous saying out loud, but massive, massive resistance was just Wi-Fi in another country, because obviously your whole business is transforming into virtual, which it had been already. But if there were Wi-Fi problems in our house or just the location we live in, which is really, really common, almost every island you go to, that was the big, I was just thinking, I won't be able to do anything. And
it's like a utility now, isn't it? It's like being without electricity or something, or water, especially if you're running your business.
Exactly. It was a huge consideration. And also at that point at home, we had been moving into more face-to-face, more kind of in-person events. And at that point, I craved it so much. And I was taking myself away from that and going to virtual. So that was also massive resistance and consideration that we had. But like anyone who has spent any winter at home, the decision was a no-brainer to move to a hot country for a period of time. We both said, you know, if it goes tits up, we'll just come back home. It was just, yeah, definitely kind of a F it moment. One like we really, really have learned so much from.
That's really interesting. So this idea that actually very few decisions are irreversible. I mean, again, it plays obviously to your risk appetite, just to have that sort of mentality that actually if things do go wrong, we can unravel that, we can unpick it. I'm really interested in how you found setting up your business over there. I mean, obviously you had a business here, you had clients, connections and so on, but how do you, especially as a coach, you know, you're based on referrals and I'm assuming you're active on social media and that kind of thing. How do you manage your networking from the middle of the Indian Ocean?
Yeah. It's worth saying that I have been running my business for just under a year now. So I've run it for 8 months as a side hustle. And then addition to that, just under a year. So if I were to advise anyone, it wouldn't be start your business away from home, because it's so stressful navigating a new business and then navigating an international move. So I was in a place where I had a business coach and I had created like a healthy funnel of one-to-one clients, which gave me the confidence to run it elsewhere. I will say that moving abroad allowed me to think really innovatively of what I could do differently now. So at home, it wasn't a priority for me to introduce an online product or a digital course. It was just something, oh, I can do in the future. But I thought, if for whatever reason I'm not able to sign clients or just work in the same way, I need to create some kind of passive income, which is something I would love to scream about that every coach needs to do, just to not have that, you know, huge dependency on finding clients. So I actually created a course before I left and then launched it when I was here. And it's still very much in the trial and error process of, you know, creating sustainable income from it. However, I don't think I would have made that if I hadn't had moved over here. And now I'm looking at it driving my business more because I've realized how important passive income is, trying to make that work more so I can then focus on my one-to-one clients, et cetera, with ease. But all my clients are European based. So I never decided to move my client base here purely because of London prices versus Mauritian prices. And when you move abroad, you don't have to pay tax in a country, or you don't have to pay tax here till after 6 months if you're working for yourself. So I never had to contribute to that because I wasn't almost taking Mauritian money. I did want to do some kind of face-to-face event, or at least try get some kind of, go to some kind of brand or create some kind of group. But when we got here, it was almost the boom of their COVID. It wasn't as bad because, you know, you can still go to the beach, you can still leave your house. It wasn't locked down. It was just, you have to be really careful with COVID and there's no huge gatherings. So it was probably the best time to try create a face-to-face network here instead to create a digital product.
So you've got multiple kind of revenue streams. You've got your one-to-one clients, you've got your, as you call, the passive revenue, the online program that you do, and then you're looking, I'm guessing, at sort of potentially expanding to local audiences as and when COVID permits. And do you think that this, I mean, having this very broad spectrum of client input, does that give you, it must give you a different perspective in terms of how you support your clients, the kind of advice that you're, well, not the coaches give advice, but the direction and the perspective that you give your clients. Do you think that that's as a result of being based in Mauritius, or is that just something that you bring? Because as you said at the start, you are a traveler, you've always been interested in different perspectives and moving overseas and so on.
Yeah, I think most people who are coaches probably have that human connection kind of in them, and that's why they become coaches, because, you know, we kind of love that. We love that feeling. We love learning about different kinds of people. However, I really do feel it mostly comes from my experience in transitioning careers. That's what I specialize in. I help women transition new roles. But I would be lying if I said that the perspective has changed being in Mauritius. I think it's completely different. But I guess I'm in a location where I get to work on myself a little bit more, because I'm different as well. So I'm 4 hours ahead, which means I never have calls in the morning, which is the best thing ever. So when I go back home, I'm never going to put a call in the morning ever again, because I'm just not a morning person.
No, neither am I. So that's brilliant.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure to say, oh, you know, I have a morning routine and I'm productive at all hours of the day. Absolutely not. I spend the mornings, takes me a long time to get out of bed, but, you know, spend the mornings working out or going for a walk, and then all my calls start post 12 o'clock. So that's been a gift of time. Really love to take that back home, but also having a whole day to work means I've had calls at 11:30 at night, we've finished work late, and I have no work boundaries here. Kind of all my days kind of seep into one. So at times it has been actually quite unhealthy, and I have found myself working a lot because I failed to kind of set those boundaries. But it's taught me that that's what I need to do when I go home.
That's really interesting. And I mean, you've talked a few times about when I go home. So again, you see this as, I mean, do you have a finite deadline, or do you see this as just it will be when it will be?
No, I have a flight home booked.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I am back in April. I'm back in 3 weeks. Yeah, so we always decided to temporarily move. I have a grand total of 10 weddings to attend to.
Oh my God.
Can you believe it?
That would be one of many reasons to stay.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could. Like, you know, I'm 32. I'm at the age where all my friends are getting married, and there's so many weddings that have been postponed to this year. Right, so it's like a wedding boom. So coming back to lots of social plans, but this was very much a trial to working abroad. And now that we've done it, I think we're definitely going to make sure that is part of our life going forward, and not necessarily huge jumps to Mauritius. We've only just spoken about, let's get an Airbnb in the country, in England somewhere for a month, you know, just for a change of scenery, just for some creativity, just for some fresh air. It doesn't always have to be an exotic island, even though that would be lovely. It can just be, you know, I love exploring England, especially since lockdown. I think we take it for granted. We've got some really, really nice places to go to. So why not just rent somewhere for a bit and work in a different location with a pool or something?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant. That's great advice for anyone who is thinking about, yeah, being a digital nomad. I tend to always think, oh God, it means we've got to, yeah, move overseas, do some great, great big move, as you're talking about. And obviously a lot of our listeners will have children who are in school and so on. So that makes it a little bit more challenging. But if you're talking about kind of semi short term trips over the summer or whatever, and it doesn't have to be to a far flung island, it's just about changing scenery, going somewhere where you get your creativity going and flowing. And what advice would you give to anyone thinking of doing that? I guess what sort of lessons that you've learned?
Speaking from someone who doesn't have kids, so obviously I'm speaking on behalf, I guess, of, you know, people who don't have that commitment. So I know it's not as easy for other people. One thing we don't have here is an expat community. Even though we have family here, Mauritius is not really somewhere a lot of digital nomads go. It's very much a retirement place for people.
Really?
Being blunt as possible, we have no friends here. We just have my family.
It's been intense.
You know, yeah, there's only so much like we can spend time with my 90-year-old grandma. So we don't have any friends here, which can be really isolating at times. because it's just my partner and I. So it's really important that where you go does have a bit of a community feel, maybe like-minded individuals that you would want to hang out with. So that's one piece of advice I would give. And then the second one was just touching on what I said before, is that if you are thinking about doing something like this, it doesn't need to be a 6 month or a year haul where, you know, you have a leaving party and have a massive announcement. I speak to a lot of clients who don't even work in coffee shops, and they you know, they complain about being indoors all the time. And I go, well, have you just first practice like leaving your desk or leaving your house? And then once you start doing that a bit more, you realize, oh, okay, I can get, you know, maybe I can just go to France for a few weeks, or like I said, somewhere in England, something that's easy for you, but manageable for you. And again, just creating that remote work means just, you know, anywhere. I think another bit of advice I would say is that if you are going to do something different, use it as an opportunity to do something different in your business. So try be innovative, whether it's something you offer, or maybe like, you know, I changed my branding slightly because I'm at the beach all the time. So I'll take a picture of the beach and I'll use all my copy on pictures that I just take around, just to kind of like...
I love your branding. And I should say, we'll put all the stuff in the show notes. But anyone listening to this, go and check out Nisha's Instagram account, because oh my God, it's just brilliant.
Well, thank you so much. No, yeah, I wanted to switch it up. I'm like, you know, I'm in Mauritius, let's just make it a bit more exotic, seeing as I'm here. My friend actually helped me with my brand, and she's probably looking at them thinking, this is not in your brand guidelines. What are you doing? But I was like, you know what?
The beach is not in your brand guidelines.
Yeah, exactly. But no, you just have fun with it. Just so you can remember that part of your business from that country or from that experience as well. And an obvious one, obviously check that they've got sufficient Wi-Fi, because we did have to upgrade our Wi-Fi here. But, and I've probably now got better Wi-Fi than I did in my flat in London. So that's
what have you? Yeah, probably. I just want to talk about, because obviously, you know, we're talking here and all sounds perfect, and well, not perfect. You've been very, very honest, but it all sounds fantastic. But at the start, before we hit record on this, you did touch about some of the challenges of being, and these are relatable, whether it's being an independent practitioner working on your own, or whether it's being based overseas. I know you talked about almost, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the sort of the loneliness or doing so much work virtually where all your clients are on Zoom or whatever platform you're using. How do you manage that? How do you make sure that you're getting what you personally, I guess, to like feed your soul, feed your mind? Because as you've touched upon, that's quite a really important point, actually, about your days sort of seep from one into the other, because you're taking the client work where you can get it on different, very different time zones. I don't know if you've got tips or hints, but I'm just interested in how you manage that for yourself.
No, that's a really important point, because I wouldn't want anyone to listen just to think it's all, you know, hunky-dory. And with those ups definitely comes downs. And my, I guess my three or my biggest challenges I face are burnout, because I struggle to create work boundaries with the hours that I work. So I find myself working all day and checking my emails all the time. So when I'm home, I'm actually going to enforce a 4-day week on myself. But I'm self-employed. Why don't I work 4 days a week? You know, it's really funny. You leave your 9 to 5 to work 24 hours a day in your business. And you're like,
I was having exactly this same conversation with somebody else last week. This idea, I was saying it took me 3 years, I think, to realize that actually, if I want to go and walk the dog, or if I want to go out for a coffee, I can. I don't have a boss looking down on me going, where are you? It's 10 o'clock. You should be at your desk.
Yeah. So that was a huge one for me, because fundamentally looking after yourself, creating that space and time for yourself helps you in your business. You know, you're not operating from like, oh, I need to get this done, let me just give it another hour. It's like, let me look after myself. 100% loneliness has been, it's the same kind of loneliness I felt in lockdown at home, because it just is my partner and I, and we live on the coast, which obviously is amazing, but it's away from all my family. But again, you just want like a girlfriend to talk to, a glass of wine with sometimes, you know, like when your partner is annoying you, you don't then want to talk to your partner about how annoying they're being. So I really have missed my friends, and I am part of online communities, but when you feel burnt out from being virtual, I kind of give the analogy of, you know, having your cup filled, and it's very easy for me to have an empty cup, I'd say for every 6 weeks. So in those moments, I swear to God, I asked my partner this morning, I was like, I really need to fill my own cup. Like, I need to figure out what I need to do. And that can be, for me, it's so simple. It's just not going on my phone or my laptop for a day, or at least in the mornings, because, you know, you're just overstimulated and it kind of creates too much of abundance of knowledge. Or I'm getting a massage this week. So just kind of like self-care stuff. And it's really basic for me. It's just like, how can I look after myself this week? Food is a big one. I'm a massive foodie. I'm like, I just want to eat the yummiest food and just have guilt-free, like, lovely meal, you know, just have that intention of just looking after myself and like not putting pressure, because like Ludi, if you're a coach, you're probably working out and looking after yourself in so many different ways. So many personal growth. And sometimes it's like, you know what? We almost are on this self-development kind of hype too much. Like, it's okay to have those low days and those days where we are not online just to recharge our batteries. And I do feel like, I could be wrong, I feel like women need that more than men. I feel like there's something in our body, whether it's our hormones, whether it's just the way we're programmed. I mean, I can't do what my partner does. He can get up at 6 a.m. and go for a run and work all day. And I'm like, I'm on my period and I need to just run for 4 hours. And there's kind of nothing wrong with that. So if you are feeling burnt out, the chances are there's been your cup is just completely empty. So I think you just need to ask yourself, what do you need to do to fill up your cup? What are the things, not that Instagram tells you to do or something you read online, like listen to your body, and you know, like, what do you actually need? And that can sometimes be very, very basic.
I love that. Thank you so much, Nish. I have to tell everyone that because there was background noise, I asked you to turn off the air conditioning. Yeah. So I'll let you go so you can go and cool down. But thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
I think I secretly wish I was back in my early 30s living Nish's life, in case you didn't get that from the interview. I'm really grateful to her, though, for her very candid thoughts on the pros and cons of moving overseas. Aside from where Nish is based, I think many of us can relate to that concept of Zoom doom, where all your meetings are virtual, and needing to actually have a break and see someone in person. And her two top tips for anyone who's contemplating a move overseas, with or without kids: make sure you know you'll be able to find a support network out there when you get there, and check the Wi-Fi. From what Nish was saying, these two things had a real effect on the success of their move and her mental health. Something a bit different from us this week, but if anyone is qualified to advise and support women through transition and change, I think it's Nish. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to leave a review and follow along so you're notified when the next episode drops. Thanks for listening.